What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 458, and our podcast this week is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just enjoying a little bit of nice weather today. Went swimming right after work. So
nice. It's been hot here. Like hot. Yeah,
it's been pretty nice, but it's on a warming trend again. So
yeah. Are you you know, it's like end of summer coming up. Like it's August already. It's like,
I know my kids are getting ready to go back to school in a couple weeks, and
yeah,
it's wild.
I feel like we always talk about this, but like the year just has gone by so quickly.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We have old man in the live chat. Good to see you here this week. But yeah, it just seems like everything's going by, and we're just going to get into the holiday time, product launches, game launches, everything coming into holiday. And then right after holiday, we're right into CES. It's just going to be busy the next couple months, I feel. So lots to get done. We have a ton of reviews, tons of things to talk about this week. Ryan took a look at a CPU cooler from a new brand to us. I took a look at an M.2 SSD. We have a really cool build this week for Case Mod Friday. We're going to be talking about the RX 9060, which you really technically can't buy unless you buy it in a pre-built. Possibility of dual 3D V-cache CPUs coming out, which will be incredibly interesting. Yeah. Some other new products and all the details on Battlefield 6. We saw the multiplayer trailer. There was more videos about the different class systems and the different maps and how it's all going to go down. Open beta. We have performance data on Battlefield 6 already. We have all this stuff on Battlefield 6. So definitely stay tuned for all that stuff. So we're going to be talking about all of it this week. If you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which is right here, that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week and links to it as well. So if you hear something or you want to see something that we're talking about, you can reference the show notes and go to that review, go to that article, whatever it is. We have it all right here. So we'll start out, Ryan, with your review of the Valkyrie V3. Was it the V360 Lite, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. I've got it pulled up shared. So if you want to throw it up there.
Yeah. Oops. Let's do it. There we go.
There we go. Yeah. So like Bob kind of mentioned, and I mentioned in my review, this is not a new company necessarily. They are newer. But new to us. So this is the first product we looked at from Valkyrie. And I took a look at their V360 Lite all-in-one cooler. So let's just get right into it. One thing I found interesting about the box, I mean, it was a nice enough box, but like what's different about this? It has no product picture on it. Like most of the time, retail packaging has a picture of what's inside. And I got to thinking, I was like, well, a lot of people just buy online and you see the pictures of the device, you know, the components and everything there.
Yeah. So
you don't really care what the box is, but in a retail environment, kind of odd. And then the back just had like some diagram images, right?
So an interesting take there,
right? Not something we see all the time. I just thought it was kind of interesting, but it came packaged nice enough, right? Some foam cutouts there to protect everything. This does have, if you can't tell by this picture, pre-installed fans. So we'll get to that in just a minute, which is always a nice, convenient feature. You do get a physical installation guide, which I like. It's nice to be able to like reference it. It's one of that like folds out like a map, you know.
Oh, nice.
So you can reference it without having to pull out your phone and like scroll through a PDF and get to the right thing. Like
you gotta like zoom in on the PDF and you're like,
And then you're like, okay, but now I need to go to this other section. With this, it's like it's just all there. So I really like that. But of course, you know, it's a modern AIO, so it's gonna fit on just about every modern platform from Intel and AMD, and they give you everything that you need for that. So all your mounting brackets, you know, your screws for your radiator, an extra little syringe of thermal paste, although this does have pre-applied thermal paste, which is nice as well. But let's just get right into it. And this is just kind of a quick overview look of this thing. And what's kind of cool about it, I've got the white version here. They also offer it in black. And then they also have it in a 240 millimeter size as well. So lots of sizes and colors to go along with. You can see those daisy chained fans there. We'll talk about those here in a minute. But the thing that I really want to talk about is this pump housing I guess we'll just go down the line and we'll get to it in a minute. Standard 27 millimeter thick radiator, 21 fins per inch. So pretty standard. You know, we see just about those specs every time. Nothing to write home about there. 320 millimeter ARGB fans. So you can control these. They are PWM as well, and they are daisy chained together. It is kind of a bit of a, you know, proprietary style connection on those fans.
Does it break out into a standard?
It does break out into a standard 3-pin ARGB connector, okay, and a 4-pin PWM. So,
but like, if you wanted to like use the fan, one of the fans in another setting, you couldn't because it's proprietary.
Yep, correct.
Gotcha.
So that, you know, that's kind of a bummer. But it's not like
a lot of brands do it too.
Yeah, just like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Any of those like fans that come, you know, connected without cables in between them, it's not like you're going to be able to add one to that chain either. So
yeah,
just, you know, something to keep in mind. But this has a really cool pump housing top to it. It's got some RGB lighting in this triangular section here, but then it has like an opening to the circuitry of that lighting circuitry and chips and everything, right? It shows you the controls for that lighting. It's cool. It pops off via magnets and it is held on via magnets, and you can actually rotate it 90 degrees. So whatever orientation you need for your build, it can fit that in 90 degree increments. And it just uses like a pin and pad style connection for you know, your ground, your data, and your voltage here, which is pretty cool. I like that design. It's real simple. Makes things less complex with how they've got that set up. And like I said, it just pulls off and pops back on. And as you can see here, there's kind of almost like a pinkish tint to the material of the window. It's not that noticeable once the thing is turned on, but it isn't just like a straight clear, and it's not like a gray smoked material either. It's
okay, got
a little bit of a pink tinge to it. But once it's powered on, you don't notice it at all, if that bothers you. Pretty standard pump housing though, for the most part, other than that cool circuitry design there. Nothing really to write home about. It does use a 3-pin ARGB connection for that top lighting section, and then you have just a 4-pin PWM for the pump that is underneath. Like I mentioned earlier, we've got pre-applied thermal paste. I like this design here. Plenty of paste applied. Sometimes you get these pre-applied pastes and it looks like it's too small, or, you know, depending on where you're going. So this one takes up quite a bit of space. You've also got that syringe in there as well. And you can see in this picture,
it's nice that they give you the extra syringe too, because some brands don't.
Yep, absolutely. And as you can see here on the sides, we have two mounting brackets that are permanently attached to the pump housing. So those are universal. You don't have to switch it out for AMD or Intel. They both use the same brackets. But that does add an additional bracket, which we'll get to on installation, which is a little extra step. Nothing crazy, but it's just a little different than some others in the past. Talked about the fans. They've got rubber pads in the corners to knock down vibrations and keep things quiet, which is always nice. Installing, super easy and basic, right? You got your fans pre-wired. They're already set up in a push configuration, which is how we test, so no problems there. Their orientation with how the fans are wired puts the cabling to the back, so no issues there as well. They're a little loose, like there's a little bit of extra slack here, so they can hang down a little. I just had to tuck them up behind it. But it's so much better than having just separate loose cables. We talk about this all the time.
And then having to wire them yourself.
It's
the worst. Yeah.
It was always such a pain. So, that is nice. You do use these black motherboard, brackets. So you got to take the factory AMD brackets off, put these on, and then you have to stick another set of brackets onto the sides.
Okay.
These metal ones, like, and that's what attaches, right? So you build like the square around it. I do like the little thumb screws though, with the Valkyrie logo on them.
That is
kind of
cool,
kind of a cool touch there. But the thing I don't like about these brackets, and we've seen this style before where you have like, it's going to fit multiple sizes. Usually I feel like these are cut out more and more obvious as to which notch they need to fit into. But this is loose enough where it can be kind of shuffled around, and when you're trying to put that CPU on there, or that pump housing. You got to like make sure that, because you have to tighten these brackets down first. So you've got to have everything right. So that's kind of a pain. It's not impossible. I had everything lined up the first time, but it's just something to think about. There's that pump housing with the other section removed, because the outer white of the pump housing body kind of gets in the way of those screws. So you can actually take it off via magnets as well.
Yeah, it just pulls it right off. Okay.
Yep. So you got two components there that actually come off, but it gives you better access to those mounting screws. Yeah, this white right here pops off. And that's just kind of what it looks like installed without any power to it or anything. But very, very good looking AIO. It's basic, right? There's nothing super flashy about it other than that circuitry design. But I think it's a cool design and kind of sets it out from other all-in-one coolers that we've looked at in the past. Now, as far as performance goes, it does pretty well. There we go. So idle temperatures, we're right in line, kind of mid-range performance. Same thing with load. It actually did really well on the load testing at the low fan RPMs. At 500 RPM, it was tied for the best performance we've seen so far. As you get up in higher fan speed, that performance doesn't keep up with some of the other coolers, but still in the mid-range of everything. Nothing, you know, not like it was like hotter than anything else. Same thing with the sound of those fans. So just like a solid mid-range cooler. Nothing to complain about. No, like, you know, it's not like it was the best or the worst. It's just
right. No software, just straight PWM. Right.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I put down for, you know, in the cons. There is no software to it, right? You don't have an LCD screen you're trying to control or do any fancy lighting with the RGB lighting. So you do have to have either a separate controller you can use for those 3-pin RGB, or you've got to, you know, plug it into your motherboard and use that software. So no control there. It simplifies things a little bit. And then here's just a couple shots of it turned on.
In that, that little wind, that's a
infinity mirror. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So it's a cool look. I like it. I kind of wish that there was interior lighting on the circuitry area.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool too.
It's kind of dark, right? Just like, I think that would have added a nice touch there. In fact, I probably would have rather just had a whole top square of circuitry. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. But
I think it looks cool. Yeah. It's a neat look that we haven't really seen before. Overall, yeah, I gave this an 8 out of 10. Installation's easy. It looks good. Performance is mid-range, right? Nothing crazy. It's really affordable. Right now, it's just under $92.
That's for affordable for a 360.
Three ARGB fans, you know, the light up pump housing, the, you know, hot swappable cap, right? You can just pull it off in our social media video. I kind of showed that, right? I had it running, pulled the top off, moved it to a different orientation, moved it around again. So that's kind of cool. Good idle performance, load performance. It's affordable, but the cons were no software control and it was a noisy pump. So this is something that came and went because I thought I had it solved and then it started making noise again. So
The
pump in this just seems to be a little loud. Now, whether that's because it doesn't have enough fluid in there from the factory or something with the design, but I ran it in multiple orientations. I had it like standing up like normal. I laid the case on its side. I tilted it around to try and, you know, move any air pockets or air bubbles around. And like, I couldn't get it to do it. And it was just like a sound of like the bubbling that you get sometimes. Like if you have an AIO and you haven't turned it on in a while, sometimes you get that and then it clears up. That was like there all the time. And then it went away for a while. And I was like, oh, great. It like worked itself out.
Yeah.
And then it came back again. And like that happened over a long period of time with this. So other than that, you know, not bad.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, definitely go ahead and check out Ryan's review on that. I think it's just like a good looking cooler for like we talk about the ones with like the screens and Valkyrie does have one with the screen, but like
they do.
If you're just looking for something that's just going to look nice. And yeah, I'm even looking at mine, which is a Fantex, and like it doesn't have a screen. It just has some lighting and it's just like looks solid in your belt, I think.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of cooler. This is.
And you know, you start running stuff with screens, and depending on the design and how they implement it, like now you could be impacting system performance because it's using up resources, right?
Yeah, or like it's using some type of bloated software, and we know which ones those are. so yeah. Yep. So definitely, like I said, definitely go ahead and check out Ryan's review. We have my buddy Skyler in the chat. Good to see you here, man. But yeah, I took a look at a completely different product, and a product that is incredibly affordable, but like you wouldn't think of this brand, and I'll tell you why. So when you think of Acer, what do you think of?
Two things, because it's almost like a two ends of the spectrum. I think of like just affordable, like family home computers, and then I think of like their Predator line of monitors that they've
had. Okay, so,
like, yeah, I didn't even think of those extremes, right?
I don't even think of the Predator line, which I don't know
if they make it anymore, to be honest. Yeah,
like I think of like just their laptops. Like I just think of Acer laptops.
Okay, yeah.
But apparently, let me bring it back up. Acer makes NVMe SSDs. Actually, they don't. The company actually, does not. Actually, our friends at Bywin sent this over, and this is a Gen 4 NVMe SSD. Has speeds of up to 7,200 megabytes a second read and 6,200 megabytes a second write. Like I said, it is made by Bywin, and Bywin is an OEM for a ton of different companies. I got to visit them at Computex, and they're going to be coming into the US under their own name. So you will see Bywin NVMe SSDs, portable SSDs, DDR5, all that kind of stuff. In the future, it's coming. But this gives us a good idea of what like a Bywin made drive looks like, what it performs like, all of that stuff. So this uses the Maxiotek MAP1602A controller with YMTC 232 layer QLC NAND. So we don't have a cache chip. This is completely DRAM-less, which allows it to be very cool. So it doesn't get hot or anything like that, which is really, really good. The drive itself is like incredibly simple. It's your typical, M.2 2280 has this Acer sticker on the front. That sticker is not just a sticker. It's like a little graphene sticker. So it does provide a little bit of cooling. If you are installing this on a motherboard with even the smallest M.2 heatsink, it's going to be fine. You won't have any issues with overheating or anything like that. Now, this is going to be single-sided. Even we have the 4 terabyte version, it's single sided, which makes it really good for like installing in an ultrabook or something like that, because it is going to be single sided. That's essentially it. It's just your typical drive and all of that. And if we just go in quickly and just like look at our performance, let's go to Crystal Disk Mark. Like, I mean, you can see the performance is right up to spec, 7,200 megabytes a second read and 6,200 megabytes a second, right? We're just like slightly below that, which is expected. No real issues with this drive either. Everything performed right up to specification. If anything, because it is a QLC drive and not a TLC drive, you like sustained writes are going to be the thing that's going to kind of crater the drive. But for most people, even if you're like gaming, if you're using it for a lot of like media storage or something like that, I think this is going to be a really good drive overall. If you're a content creator using this as an editing drive or something like that, it's not going to be the best, just because again, sustained writes aren't going to be its strong suit. But if we get down into actual price, if we look at the price, the 4 terabyte is $219.99. For something of this speed is a very good deal. It doesn't overheat.
I'm going to have to pick this up for my secondary drive.
I'm actually going to take it and I'm going to put it in my main system, because I only have 1 and 2 terabyte NVMe drives in here. So I'm going to.
That's a really good deal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a good deal. Like it's, again, if you're using it for mainly a storage drive, or a game drive or something like that, it's going to be fine. You know what I mean? I wouldn't use it as an editing drive or anything like that. But it's, you can't beat the price. $219.99 for a 4 terabyte. You can get it in 500 gig, 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte. But the 4 terabyte is just a great price, $219.99. Like I said, good performance overall. It's single-sided. It runs cool. And you can get it up in capacities up to 4 terabytes. It's just not the best for long extended writes. And old man in the chat says, I think most of these budget M.2 drives are QLC. Yeah, they are. Because most of them are going to be DRAMless. So you save some money there. And again, DRAMless has been not great initially, but they've gotten over that hurdle. And again, unless you're doing sustained writes or something like that, this drive's going to be pretty solid overall. And again, if you're using it as like just a backup storage drive to put media or something like that on, you're going to have no issues with this at all.
Well, it's, I mean, even your as SSD benchmark, I was just looking through here, like that's a sustained write for a long time, and it did look great.
Yeah, if you look at the one that to look at, I mean, is the Ada 64. Yep,
that one too.
I mean,
it wasn't like writing, you know.
Yeah, so it writes like it's kind of standard. It will just like any drive, even if it's 1 terabyte or 2 terabyte, typically we see anywhere from like 15% to 30% before you get the performance drop. So you goes and boom, performance drop. So we're about 28% till you really hit that performance drop. So on a 4 terabyte drive, I can't do math, whatever that is.
I hadn't gotten to the write. I was looking at the linear read. I was like, oh, wow, yeah. This is actually impressive.
Yeah, linear reads, I mean,
was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, straight across. So, but yeah, this writes the entire drive. So you can see, like I said, it's pretty standard. And again, this is DRAMless too. So very standard, pretty much all drives we test, it's like anywhere on the low end, it's like 15%. On the high end, it's like around 30. So we got,
but I mean, if that made it to 25%, you just wrote a terabyte solid to that drive. Like the times you're doing that is probably not that often.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it is, this isn't the drive for you anyways.
Yeah. So I think this is a great, you just can't beat the price. And again, 4 terabyte and available 4 terabyte. Like a lot of these brands, big name brands, you know, the big ones I'm talking about, like they say they have a 4 terabyte version, but like you go on Amazon and you just can't find it. Like you can go on Amazon right now and buy the 4 terabyte for $219.99. Like it's available. You can buy it. Sweet. And if you actually look, I'm pretty sure, let me look at this. I'm pretty sure there's like a ton sold. Cause like Amazon, you know how like it tells you, it might've been, that might be the 1 terabyte. No, 300 plus bought like
this month. Yeah.
Yeah, 300 plus bought this month, which is great. Yeah, so people are seeing this, and it's like I said, it's good for what it does, and I think it's a great price. So check out the review if you're interested. Like I said, it is, you can buy the 4 terabyte right now. So if you're somebody who's like, oh man, NVMe is like I want to just get rid of those 2.5 inch drives. Now you can get 4 terabyte for close to $200, which is awesome. So. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that review out. Also, we'll move on to CaseMod Friday. And we have a show build here, and I really, really like this one. It's just super cool. It has one of my favorite AMD graphics cards on it, too. So this is from Jugapat's modifier, and this is called Grasp the Abyss. And you can see why, because it's grasping the Red Devil card from Power Color. And it's just a cool build. Like it's like the computer's in here, and then they have the graphics card up here. But of course, they're using a ribbon cable, so the graphics card technically is running, which is pretty cool. Now this is a showpiece, not for everybody. What do you think? What do you think, Ryan?
It's got to be huge because, like, knowing how big that graphics card is, it's large.
And this is cool. This is like an AIO. Yep. Yeah. So, and this is like a mini ITX.
Yeah, you see motherboard. The they've got it kind of oriented with the memory to the left there.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. Do those rocks actually glow as well, or is it just the color?
I think it might just be the color. But like the attention to detail the hand. Sure.
I like how the card glows on the end there too. It just adds to the theme. Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, super cool. like, it'd be so funny if this is like at your house and people
just, you just like walk in.
Yeah, it's just like what's like the Cooler Master Dolphin,
that big the shark one, or the
shark. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, you walk in and it's like, oh, what's that over there? Oh, that's my computer.
Yeah, I mean, some of this glows here, Ryan. You see the lights?
Yeah. I mean, so like maybe, those big crystals. I didn't know if they.
Yeah, maybe they do like a little bit from the lighting. It's kind of hard to tell. But very cool build. I like this one. I think we see a lot of these, and some of them I'm just like not a fan of, but this one I actually really, really like, because it like just fits the theme of the graphics card. Definitely check this one out. Shout out to Juggapat Modifier. Of course, we have his Facebook linked in the article if you want to check out more of his stuff as well. We'll move on to news. So we talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. Finally, so you remember, you know, the RX 9060 XT launched, months ago? And we're like, oh, there's going to be a 9060. Where's the 9060? We can't get the 9060. Where is it? It's out now. You can't buy it. But it is, it's out. You can get it in pre-built systems. 28 CUs, so 1,792 stream processors. For all those 8 gig haters out there, it's an 8 gig card. GDDR6, made for 1080p gaming, 132-watt TDP. Yeah, you can only get it in pre-builds, which kind of makes sense. I feel like if it was available, I feel like reviewers would just crush it.
They would just,
it's just bad publicity.
What's this card for, blah, blah, you know. Yeah,
I think if anything, for system integrators, it gives them a affordable option to do 1080p gaming, like the Intel Arc cards essentially were for pre-built. So if you look at one pre-built with an Nvidia card, it's like $2,000. The one with this card or like the Intel card is like $1,250, $1,500. So
right,
Yeah,
I think that's fine. I don't have any problem with this card being only available to OEMs. Like,
yeah, because we don't really have pricing. We don't have any idea of pricing or anything like that. You just have to get a pre-built with it in it.
Yeah, it's the type of card where that pricing, every OEM is probably going to pay different anyways, depending on how they've negotiated, how many,
or like how much and like volume and all that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's out there now. Finally. We'll see if AMD ever decides to actually just sell the card. But as of right now, that's not the case. Now, talk about something that would be incredibly cool if we would see it. I don't know. This is just a rumor. Possible dual 3D V-cache CPUs in the Ryzen 9000 series. Like new Ryzen 9000 series CPUs with dual 3D V-cache. So if you don't know, AMD CPUs, Ryzen CPUs are in a chiplet design. There's two CCDs typically, on a 3D V-cache or an X3D part. The 3D V-cache is on one of the CCDs. So this would mean that there would be 3D V-cache on both of the CCDs. And the possible CPUs would be an 8-core 16-thread CPU, 120-watt TDP with 96 megabytes of L3 cache. And then the big one would be a 16-core 32-thread 200-watt CPU with 192 megabytes of L3 cache.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so possibly... Yeah, I mean, I think the X3D parts have been such a big hit. Just keep on going down that road. And if you can put more 3D V-cache on there where it doesn't increase the price dramatically, but gives you that extra gaming performance, which again, that's why you're buying an X3D part. And we have a Battlefield story, which really shows the difference. You'll be able to see if you could just
further enhancing that. Yeah, crazy.
This is all speculation, obviously nothing confirmed. I mean, 200 watt is
that's a lot.
That's a high TDP on a processor. That's not like a high-end desktop processor. So it would be a very specialized SKU. Wonder if they would ship it with a... No, they wouldn't.
You're in like custom loop territory with 200 watts.
Almost. Yeah. Like, so
you've got to have a huge AIO.
It's like a 14900K. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You need a at least a probably like
the best.
Yeah, you need something like that. So pretty interesting if this would happen. I would love to see it. I think X3D has been such a game changer for AMD. Oh, yeah. and especially and for gamers in general, because like, you know, Ryan, you and I are like, we game, but we do other stuff on our PC. Like, we're doing a bunch of things. But there's people who are just like, just buy a PC. Right. 90% of their time on their PC is gaming. So, like, it just makes sense for them to buy the X3D part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, to further enhance that for them, where they don't have to, you know, where they can stick with a 5070 instead of going up to a 5080 or something like that, because you're going to get the extra performance out of the X3D part, I think that's awesome. So yeah, we'll see if that actually happens. You know, we are getting to the end of, you know, we're getting to the end of the year, so maybe we'll see something towards the end of the year on that front. If that were to happen,
yeah, what would be cool is to see like a, I'm just throwing this out here, like if you had a let's see here, they have like a, what, a 9900X right now, that's a real part, right? But let's say they made a 9900X 3D and then the Never mind. I forget I said anything. Edit it out.
You're having
a brain fart? I was on a tangent and I wasn't going to be able to connect the dots. So just okay. Move on.
You know, maybe you need so Ryan drinks these little Starbucks. Did you have your little Starbucks?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well.
I almost grabbed a tea before this, but
maybe I think that's yeah. But yeah, that would be super cool if that were to happen. Also talking about AMD and Ryzen stuff. We have some details on AM6. That will be the new socket. Of course, we're on AM5 right now. AM5 should go to the next generation. Like, so we're not getting AM6 on this next generation of upcoming Ryzen processors. It will be the following generation. So it will be Zen 7 where we will get it. But we have some details. So we're going to get more pins, which kind of makes sense. The socket size... the 22% increase in pin count. So you're going from 1,718 pins to 2,100 pins, higher power draw, greater IO bandwidth. So this will support supposedly DDR6 and PCI Express 6.0. And again, this is much further in the future. The thing that I do like about it is that it should remain the same size. Even though you're increasing the pins, I believe, or like the cooler compatibility will be the same.
I did see.
So that. If you were going to upgrade, you know, and you already had a cooler for your AM5 CPU, you won't necessarily have to buy a new one, especially if you like, you know, have a AIO or like a quite expensive cooler.
Yep.
That's not going to go to waste if you do plan to upgrade. So I do like that. And I would hope and I would expect, just like, you know, the longevity that we saw with AM4, the longevity that we're going to see with AM5, we would expect that to continue on AM6. It's not going to be like two generations and then a whole new socket. So we'll see what happens there. But interesting that we're already getting leaks on it.
Yeah, you know, early.
So we saw this case at CES. I believe I saw it at Computex as well, but it's finally out. So this is the Thermaltake View 90 Air. This is the one that has the curved glass panel that allows you to kind of see in the top. It does negate any top cooling. So just like in this one, they have the AIO mounted in the front. And then you have room for two fans in the back because your airflow is going to go in the front and out the back, or from the bottom and then out the back. So they do have this newer, larger LCD. I believe that's going to be an add-on for the case, but a bunch of different color options here at launch. Which one's your favorite?
That purple's neat, but I think probably just like the black.
Yeah, either the black or white. I always like white builds. Although my build's super dirty. I gotta clean my computer out.
You're just kind of like getting a shade of gray or brown.
Yeah, it's getting
to be dusted out.
Yeah. But yeah, what do you think of like the curved glass? Like, what's your take?
I like it. I mean, from a thermal standpoint, I'm not a big fan, but they've got those two like very large fans up front. Plus, you've got the side. I think that AIO is actually connected to the side of the case.
Oh yeah, there is a side mount. Yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah, there is a side mount.
So and then you've got, you know, multiple fans at the bottom at the back. So I think, yeah, like you said, a front to back airflow path. I'm fine with this. You know, we used to back in the day, it seemed like a lot of cases would have two fans at the back, like two.
Yeah. Back in the day. Yeah.
Two 80s. And then I even had a case that had two 120s at the back for a while. And that was nice. Right. We don't see that as often anymore, but I think this will have plenty of airflow.
Yeah. Old Man says the case is $149.99. It comes with two. Does it come with the front fans as well or no?
It better, because those are big. Like, you got to.
He said it's on Newegg.
Because I don't remember if those are 180s or 200s.
What is it called? The View 390?
Yep. Right.
View through
90 Air.
No front fans. That's it. So this is showing the side mount fans, at least in the picture. So you're only getting three side mounts and no rear fans? I'm not showing front fans. What does it come with? Sports 11 fans. Pre-installed two.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's bad that they're showing these fans in the pictures.
That's the thing I don't like, and I know they do it on Amazon too and other places, is like, okay, so if I'm buying the non-fan version of the case, like the product photo, this one shows.
That's what you're getting right there. You're getting that.
Yeah, but like this is the main photo. You're like, oh, it comes with three side mount fans. But then you go to the next photo, you're like, oh, wait, it comes with two 200 millimeter fans in the front, but it doesn't.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it does say it up here, but like if you're just browsing really quickly, you think it comes with, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. Wonder if it's the same on Amazon. Oh, doesn't matter. But yeah, but no, I like the case. Just like the other ones, Old Man also said like the LCD doesn't come with it. I don't know how much of an add-on that LCD is, but it made to fit perfectly right there. I like this case. The only thing I think of when I think of cases like this that has like the glass on the top, you know, so many people like they have their PC and then like they put something like heavy on top and you just like, it is tempered glass. So if it's like something big, you like
shatter it.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, then it's just another picture for you to post on social media of the broken glass. So.
Yeah, exactly. So check out that case. I don't think that price is bad, $150.
No.
I would have rather had the two 200 millimeter fans in the front.
And maybe like plain fans in the back or something.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. But yeah. Legion 2 Go. So Lenovo's going to be coming out with a Legion 2 Go, which is their portable. And somebody has one and they made a video comparing it. It's a preview because they opened it up and like the actual APU in there says like engineering sample on it. Oh, so whoever this is got an engineering sample of it. We have the video if you want to check it out. But it performs quite well. It uses the Ryzen Z2 Extreme. It outperforms the MSI Claw A8. This person had a ton of these, so I don't know where they were, like how they got access to these. Let me put this on here. But like you can see all the portables that they have. And there's the Lenovo one. 8.8-inch OLED with 144Hz refresh rate. I think in this next round of these portables, as we go along, I think you will see 144 be the kind of default possibly going forward. Still 1080p, but 144, sure. Not the 120 that we saw. And having an OLED, it's going to look nice. It's going to look real nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks good in that video of a screen.
Yeah. But yeah, they just ran Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It performed quite well. You can watch the video if you want to. But yeah, a lot of, like I said, this next round of these are so pop, like we always talk about this. These are so popular. Yeah. These next round of them. And again, the big one coming out, of course, is the, what do they call it? What is it? The Xbox
Ally.
ROG Ally. Xbox ROG Ally. Or is it the ROG Xbox Ally or is it the Xbox ROG Ally?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But that's the big one. That's what all my non tech friends are like, oh,
that's what they're interested in.
Yeah, that's what they're talking to me about. So yeah, we're gonna have this next round, especially for holiday season. And Lenovo Legion 2 Go will be one of those big ones there as well. Now, we talked about the Switch, of course, when it came out. There was this really cool accessory that I saw that I wanted to talk about when it comes to the Switch. A Switch OLED can fit in here, like a normal Switch OLED, or the Switch 2 can fit in this. So this is called the IMP Mini Arcade Pro. And it essentially turns your Switch an arcade cabinet. And it's like legit arcade. It's like essentially a dock that has a built-in arcade controller. And then the other part just kind of goes around it to make it into the cabinet.
Yep.
But I got to say, this is pretty cool. I think it's really, really cool. Obviously you don't know the quality of the stick, but I think it's.
Yeah. Cause you all see those tournaments, those fighting tournaments where they have their big arcade pad that, they bring with it. So I'm sure there's custom buttons and stuff that all these people use, to their liking. So I wonder how this brand is seen in that arena.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. Pretty interesting. We have a link if you want to check it out. Pretty interesting little, accessory there for your Switch OLED or Switch 2. GTA 6 question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pay $100
for GTA 6? I saw this. I mean, probably, but I also saw, I was reading, it was either last week, we were talking about it the week before about whether it's going to come out for PC at the same time. And I was seeing a bunch of stuff that people are like, no, it's not going to.
Yeah.
Which just pissed me off about the whole game in general. So I'm not excited anymore. $100 is a lot. That said,
I mean, in this economy, you think, and in this day and age, we've gone from the normal being 50.
Battlefield, didn't they say it wasn't going to be an $80 game?
Yeah, but we've gone up to around 70. I think you can buy Battlefield now on Steam. Hold on, let me see.
You might be able to now.
I downloaded it. Yeah, I downloaded the beta.
Which I guess we're going to talk about it in a bit.
Yeah, but
$100 is a lot for a game.
But so Battlefield's 70. So yeah, but would with the hype, with everybody wanting to play this game, and what else is it? Is it just the game that's 100? And then, what if there's is a special edition 150?
Well, and you know what? $100 probably isn't bad, because when's the last time I actually bought a game? There's so many free games on all these launchers that I'm never going to play anyways that I get. And then I always just play the same games all the time anyway. So I don't even know the last time I bought a game. So
I don't even $100 is a lot. If you even think about it,
I probably haven't spent $100 on computer games in 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't have to buy
it is the most hyped game universally, not just because it's not just PC gaming, the whole console crowd, they've loved this game. I mean, people are still playing this game, all the RP servers, everything that's going
right.
Yeah. 100.
That's a lot.
And this is just speculation from an industry analyst. This is not.
They could price it at 100 and it's still going to sell a ton of copies. So
yeah, I think they price it.
You think 80?
You know what? I think they're going to do the right thing. I think it's going to be $70.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be $70. There'll be some special edition that might be 100.
Sure.
Yeah. But the normal, just the game, is going to be $69.99, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my guess. What's your guess?
Here. I could see 80.
So you're going to say $79.99?
Sure.
Just the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll remember this. We'll play it back whenever GTA 6.
We'll forget.
Yeah. No, we'll remember.
No, we'll be able to find it.
Yeah. We'll be able to find it. It will, Also, Old Man in the chat says, isn't there rumors of a new PlayStation handheld? I don't know. What was the last one that actually came out? I don't follow PlayStation stuff that much. Yeah, I'm a big fan of handhelds. I just think like having tech in a portal. Small...
Oh, that's a remote player.
Yeah. Is a remote player. Old Man also said Outer Worlds 2 was going to be 80, but they received so much pushback they went to 70. Yeah, I think if anybody can get away with a higher price, it would be like Rockstar and GTA, yep, just because it's the most hyped game of this decade. Like, it just really is. You know what I mean? And again, you have not just PC gamers, you have all the console, like, it's just universally. Well,
it's a game that, like, okay, you have your first-person shooter games. You have, like, that crowd, people that like first-person shooter. You have your sports games. You've got your RPGs and fantasy-type games, right? But this is a game that, like, everybody from those genres also wants to play this. It just, like, captures all of those audiences.
Yeah, because, like, you can play it as a racing game. You could play it. You could play the entire story. Or if you just want to go on and run around and
free roam, yep.
You could do so much in it, and it's going to be, and all, like, again, if all the RP servers and everything else, like, there's going to be a whole economy behind this game.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
It just has such a wide appeal.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll move on to Battlefield 6 multiplayer trailer. We talked about this a little bit before the podcast. Mm-hmm. One, I feel like everybody who works at all these companies is like our age. They're like, you know, in their 40s.
Yeah.
And like, so the multiplayer trailer, which did come out, if you haven't seen it, we have it in the article here. Just go on YouTube and type in Battlefield multiplayer trailer. They use Limp Bizkit as the soundtrack, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and like the song is Break Stuff, I believe. Yeah. So it kind of goes with this. Battlefield is very much known for destructive environments, and this trailer has a lot of different destructive environments. Ryan said there was too much going on in the trailer for him.
It was a lot. It was like constant action. I want to know if there's friendly fire or not in this game, because there's a point when, like, you're talking about destructive, right? They've got the sledgehammer out, and it says like knock knock on it. I don't know if you saw that, but he like busts through the floor and they bust down over some enemies, and like the guys jump in, and I'm like, this looks like friendly fire to me, because
there's just a lot going on.
There's so much happening in every scene.
Yeah, it gets you pumped. I mean, it got me pumped. Like, big environments where, like, somebody's in a tank blowing stuff up. Now they have this, too, where, like...
Is it playing jerky for you, or is it just coming across jerky for me?
It probably is, because, like, it shows on StreamYard that my connection is unstable.
Your video looks fine, but this thing looks... Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love right here. That the little rocket pod pops up on the side of that tank. I just love that animation there.
Yeah, and then you have the drone...
Yeah, and I love the different perspectives they take. They're like, they show this one guy, you know, running, and they see the, like, you see the sniper flash of his limbs in the head, and then you get another angle of him getting shot, and
I mean, this looks like...
Just shotgun here.
This looks like classic Battlefield, like, action everywhere.
Look at this. They point to the floor, and they're like, all right, here's the hammer. Boom! They jump through, and I'm just like, it's pure chaos when they drop through this floor.
Yeah, I don't know how friendly fire is going to work. Probably not multiplayer.
Shoulder,
or who knows? But there's just so much going on here. I thought the trailer was great. Obviously, the music makes it even better. And then they put out videos going over the class system. So the class systems are coming back in multiplayer. So, like, you could be an engineer and get a different loadout. You could be an assault character. You could be a medic. I forget all the different ones, but there's this video that goes over everything, which I think is really, really great to explain the game. They also go over the different maps and modes and everything like that as well. So if you haven't seen these videos, we have them all in the article if you want to check it out.
That screen there of the Brooklyn Bridge, that reminds me of Division. Just like that, it's that New York setting, which I need to play some more because I haven't played it with the 5080 yet.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So like the 2070 was playing it okay, but I want to play it like with everything cranked up. Same thing with, I know this is off topic, but like Death Stranding, I had played that a bit, and that game looks gorgeous, and it looked pretty good on the 2070. I need to play it on this new card.
Yeah, yeah. That's the best part about getting a new graphics card is playing those games.
I haven't done it.
Yeah, so 2 weekends. I'll bring up the other article we have.
There's one this weekend.
So there was like a preview, closed, super closed beta to like certain streamers. I didn't get to watch any of it, but a lot of people were streaming it already, which is really cool to see. Let's see. So PC requirements. Oh, I didn't say the game is coming out October 10th.
That's so soon. I didn't think it was going to be that soon.
October 10th, which is being perfect. So like you can get the game and be playing it over the holiday. So like, you know, you have family over, you don't want to hang out with the in-laws. You go down, like Ryan goes down in the basement and you play Battlefield, which will be a good thing. So the details on the open betas, and this is open beta, so you can just play. August 7th and 8th, which is coming up. Or wait, that's early access. There's so many brands giving out early access tokens too. I saw Razer was doing it. I saw a couple that, like, I just see it on social media. So check like big gaming brands. They have like thousands of early access codes if you want to play it a couple days early. So that's tomorrow and Friday. And then the first weekend is August 9th and 10th, open beta. So you just be able to play all weekend. And then the following weekend, August 14th through 17th, same thing, open beta. Get it in, get used to the game, like see if it's something that you want to spend money on, because it is going to be $69.99 for the full version of the game.
Yeah, I think we'll be playing it, you know, once it's out. We'll
play
it a bit.
Minimum specs. So this is for, 1080p, 30 FPS. RTX
low settings. Low settings.
Yeah. RTX 2060, Radeon RX 5600, Intel Arc 830, 16 gigs of video memory. So all of those 8 gig cards will be fine. Ryzen 5 2600, Core i5 8400, 16 gigabytes of RAM. That's kind of what's required. And even Windows 10. So you're good, Ryan.
All right.
The recommended settings. So they say this is still for 1080p though. So, or no, 1440p at 60 and 1080p at 80. So a 3060 Ti, a RX 6700 XT, and an Intel Arc B580, 8 gigabytes of video memory, Core i7 10700 or a Ryzen 7 3700X, 16 gigabytes of RAM, Windows 11 for those recommended settings. 75 gigabytes at launch. So they say they put at launch in parentheses because we'll be downloads and added things, you know, all of that. Now, the interesting thing is that, one, they already said this is not going to be available for the Steam Deck because the Steam Deck runs on Linux and their anti-cheat does not run on Linux. So any Steam OS based handheld will not be able to play this. So that was the kind of big story for everybody who wanted to maybe pick this up for the Steam Deck. You're not going to be able to, at least not at launch. I don't know if I don't believe there's any plans for it as well. So, or if you have the Lenovo handheld that I took a look at, there is a Steam OS version. So maybe this is a reason to get the Windows 11 version of a gaming handheld, even though Windows 11 is kind of clunky when it comes to that mobile experience. But so no Steam Deck, Battlefield 6, not going to be possible. And then pricing, like we talked about it, it's going, like you can pre-order it now on Steam for $69.99. So it was confirmed when they initially showed the trailer that it wouldn't be $80. So like no $80 price tag on this thing. It's going to be $70. I think that's a fair price.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think it's a fair price. $69.99.
Well, and I was looking at, that's what it was. Not related. It is a bit. I was looking through some old comics and there was an ad for like Toys R Us and it was like video games. Mm-hmm. And it was like Mortal Kombat or you know, a Street Fighter game or something, and they were like $70.
Yeah, they were $70 back then
for Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
I was like, okay.
A lot of people don't realize, because like I've seen those old ads too, and I'm like, oh, they were actually like $70 for those games.
Like $70 back then? That was insane.
Yeah. So I feel like we do get a lot. I do feel like all the some companies, I mean, EA is kind of one of those where like they kill you with like the paid DLC and like the you only get half the game and you kind of have to pay more for the rest of the game type thing.
Right.
That does happen and people get mad about it. Talk about performance. So during this initial sort of like, again, certain streamers were able to play it and stream the game and do all of that. Some of that, like they weren't allowed to capture any screen recording of performance or anything like that. One person said Battlefield 6 average FPS performance was very good. 330 to 370 FPS. So they're not allowed to show screenshots. And this is on a 9800 X3D, 64 gigabytes of DDR5, and a 5080.
And no optimized driver.
Yeah, so there's no optimized driver. So, and then somebody also was on a very similar system with a 14900K, and the performance dropped by 110 FPS.
Like, I mean, I saw this too, but I also saw like, this is like one instance of it. Like, yeah. I wouldn't like put too much into this yet.
Yeah. But I think this game's going to play well though, because if you looked at the minimum specs, like it's going to play quite well.
Oh yeah.
So if you're excited for this game system. And maybe you're on even like a 10 series, it's still going to play pretty good across the board. You know what I mean? And the specs aren't that bad. It will be really interesting to see how this will play on like a gaming handheld.
You said a 10 series? You mean a 10 series CPU?
No, a GPU, like a 1080.
Their minimum requirements is 2060.
1080 is more powerful than that.
I know. But yeah. Like, I don't know, man.
You can make it work.
Getting old.
Yeah. I actually have the, okay. But if you were a couple generations behind, you're not necessarily it's not going to be a super, I mean, you can turn everything up and make it super intensive. And it's probably going to have ray trace reflections and all that kind of stuff. But if you just want to play, if you're on an older system, you should be pretty good, I think. So yeah, I'll be getting that. I'll be playing this weekend. Are you gonna play this weekend?
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna be out of town part of Sunday, but I might be able to sneak some time in, like on Saturday, maybe Sunday.
Yeah, I might play Saturday. We'll see. Yeah, I have a lot to do, but we'll see what happens here. But yeah, really, really excited for Battlefield. I don't typically get excited, but like. For me, Battlefield just has that, again, just like Ryan said with the trailer, like just all of that chaos. And
it's a lot.
And they're like the campaign always has a lot of that same chaos. You know what I mean? It's hopefully they do a good job on the campaign. I know less money gets spent on that these days, but hopefully they do a really good job on the campaign. I really like Battlefield 5 campaign. I thought it was really good. So we'll see how the campaign goes as well. But I'm excited for this. I will definitely be picking it up. For sure. So that was actually our question of the week. If you're going to play the open beta,
gonna try.
Yeah. So next week I have a new CPU cooler. I can't be telling you that much about it. It actually comes out tomorrow. So definitely stay tuned for that review on the site tomorrow. I might have some other stuff. Just depends on what all I get done. Because if I get stuck playing Battlefield 6 open beta all weekend, I'm not going to get any other reviews done. I feel so.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, so I got a time management for sure. So anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. No. I just had that AIO. I don't have any other stuff in for review at the moment, but I think I'm getting another keyboard in to take a look at.
Oh yeah.
Off of Amazon. So I was talking to a company there today or last night / today. Kind of a cool little keyboard. So we'll see.
Nice. I got a ring.
I saw you were wearing that. I didn't say anything, but I noticed that. Is it that was a smart ring. I actually didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a smart ring. So one, so like I'd like unlike Brian, like I'm not married and I've never worn rings in my life. So like having a ring on is weird, dude.
Yeah. I don't notice mine, but
it's very weird. And like it gets so they send you like a sizing kit and I wore it for a few days and like this was the finger that was like less weird for me, my index finger. But this is the ultra human ring air right here. And it's quite like I've only worn it for like 2 days now. But the one thing I was really interested in is like tracking your sleep.
Yeah.
And it has a bunch of cool stuff in there, like in the app that is like more than my Apple Watch gives me when it comes to that stuff. It's pretty comfortable. It, like I said, it's just a little weird for me. So I have to get used to it a little bit, but yeah, I like it so far. But I know like everybody's like all about the rings now. They give you more data. I don't know if it's necessarily easier to wear.
I have the Galaxy Watch 7 now. I got it like 2 months ago or so. And it does a lot better like sleep tracking than my Wise did. But the problem I have with it is the little like sensors on the bottom. You know, they're like the green light and the red light.
Yeah.
At night, like actually last night even, I was coming to bed. My wife was already in bed. It was dark in the room. And I like put my arm, you know, like up by my pillow or something. And she like woke up or like I felt her like hitting me and then I opened my eyes and the light was just like flashing.
Like I face. Take, I always take my Apple Watch off at night. Yeah.
I want to track my sleep with this.
Yeah. So that's what this is going to be for mostly. And it's kind of cool. Like it has like, you should stop taking caffeine after this amount of time, after this time. And like, there's a lot more stuff in it. So yeah, there's like I said, there's a bunch of different stuff. It'll be interesting to kind of see how it works over time. If I like it.
Old man says there's a EpoMaker EK68 65% wireless keyboard with metal knobs on Amazon for $21.15.
Wait a minute.
I know. I was like, where's this keyboard?
Should we go buy this right now?
EK68. Oh, there it is. Wait, it shows 50%. Let's see here. It's got to be with a certain set of keys or something. I had to scroll down a couple.
Oh wait, the EpoMaker. Oh, how's that $21?
I wasn't seeing it for $21.
I'm seeing it for $21.15. It's 50% off.
In what color scheme?
This one.
I wonder if it's like that pink and just all black there.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's the only one because it's like the exact same
black silver. Yep.
I mean, it's wireless keyboard, hot swappable, gasket mount, mechanical. Wireless. How's the $21? That's like a big old man. Did you buy this?
He already has it, he said. which of course he does. He has a million keyboards.
Yeah, I feel like he has more keyboards than I do, and I have a lot. That's a crazy price.
I'm just gonna buy it, I think.
You should. Hot swappable. How is this $21? Like
add to cart. I have some other things I need to buy though.
It's a limited time deal, so you better buy it now.
Is it? It is.
Yeah, I would actually buy it, but I don't need. I have so many keyboards.
So do I. I don't need it. That's the dumb thing.
Yeah, like I have like 4 EpoMaker keyboards here that I don't even use.
I scroll down. There's a bunch of limited time offers right now. Like I scroll down. I have it in my cart, and there's like all these things that I've looked at, or they're like 50% off limited time deal, 28% off on the page.
That's a crazy deal though.
Do an add it to your
cart. Think about this. Remember, like $21 for a for not for like just think of this $21, $22, you know. And I assume you get free shipping if you're a Prime member. But anyways, $22, not just like it's a mechanical keyboard. So that's just puts it at a different level already, right? Yep. On top of that, it's hot swappable. So if you don't like the switches, you can get another set of switches and it would still be like cheap, even if you bought a whole new set of switches.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And it looks like decent quality. Like Man, that's a crazy deal. That is don't actually.
I think they are PBT keycaps.
Let's see. Does it say on here?
Just trying to.
Volt gasket. No, PBT keycaps. It says it right here.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it's wireless too. It's not just wired. 2.4 gigahertz wireless too, not just Bluetooth, but it has Bluetooth as well. This is that's an insane deal. I would totally buy it, but I don't need it.
Wonder what style of switch their Flamingo switch is.
Yeah. Yeah, Ullman says this is definitely one of the better ones. Great for somebody wanting to get into mechanical keyboards. And again, yeah, it is really good for somebody who wants to get into mechanicals as well because it's hot swappable. So if you ever want to learn about switches or like try different switches or whatever, you could get this keyboard for $21 and then buy switches later down the line too and like learn how they go in and how all that works. And
okay, yeah. they're linear Flamingo, so I will like them.
Yeah, you should buy it. But yeah, awesome find there. Old Man always finds these crazy deals on stuff. So shout out to him for that for sure. But we are going to be gaming because it's Wednesday night. That means gaming stream. If it was the weekend, we'd be playing Battlefield, but we are going to be playing Apex. Ryan said there's a new mode within Apex. So we're going to be playing that over on Twitch. So if you're watching us on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, we switch over to Twitch to do our gaming stream. So that's twitch.tv/thinkcomputer. So head on over there. Ryan runs that stream.
Ordered the keyboard.
There you go. So Old Man made a sale right there.
Yeah, I own the commission.
Yeah. But yeah, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We'll be over there playing same Apex, and we will see everybody next week.